Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 566. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Nothing really on the agenda for today. Just doing a little cooking for the day. We usually get at least a couple of meals out of one cook. This one will probably get us 4 to 6 meals, so it's probably taking a little extra longer than some of the others. But hey, you know, quarantine life continues to have wrestling in its life because yeah, they're still working because evidently they're somewhat close to essential workers.
Right.
Some of those workers are going to be leaving wherever their residence happens to be, whether it is in the Florida area or not, and going to Connecticut for a fun little field trip to film at WWE headquarters.
I actually believe it's already been filmed, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably for the best. But one thing that definitely did come up, and I feel like you and I talked about the idea last week, that it would be funny if the men and the women had their match at the same time. And in the meantime, since our last recording, that has indeed been confirmed. That everyone will be fighting all at the same time.
Yeah, that, you know what, and that makes a lot of sense. It adds to the uniqueness of the situation. You don't have to do two matches where you have to lay out two different matches and send them all on separate paths and such. So no. It definitely makes it more interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's one thing that is going to be a lot of fun to see how that unfolds. And I mean, this is you know, I've been complaining a little bit about their lack of creativity as far as you know, some of the content of their promos and, really even, well, not really the matches. I think the promos, still were a little bit better this week, actually. But, I still think that they can do something more, but it seems like they're going to save these big kind of cinematic style matches for, the pay-per-views, which is probably a smart plan.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's going to make the pay-per-views feel more special in the era of COVID-19. So that, you know, well, people don't unsubscribe from their WWE Network accounts. it also keeps these things feeling fresh so that they don't, you know, they don't get stale too quickly. No, it's a good idea.
Yeah. So I guess that to me was the the headliner of the week. I have continued to have problems for one reason or another with having my new DVR record what is the kids call SmackDown. but I did catch a little bit of it, this past week. You know, I think it was kind of surprising to me, and I did catch, the Forgotten Sons beat, Kofi Kingston and Big E.
Yeah, they did. Yep, they won a non-title match. And they get a title match in a four-way at Money in the Bank with Miz and Morrison and the Lucha Dragons.
Wow, that's
is that what they're called? I don't even remember.
That's a lot of people in one match. But I'm sure they'll be somewhat paired off, I would imagine, as things go along. Yeah, I guess I don't get the interest in having the SmackDown champions lose to a new team, but whatever, I guess. It would really help if I had any faith whatsoever in the Forgotten Sons. So yeah, they don't need to be in the match. Yeah. So anything else big from SmackDown that you can recall?
Well, I mean, what? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's the continued Mandy and Otis storylines.
Yeah. I mean, that's still going pretty well. Interesting decision to put the Otis in the Money in the Bank match. Considering that it seemed like we were destined to wait for a mixed tag, and that made a lot of sense. Instead, we get a Sonya, beat down of Mandy Rose, leading to a still concern about Mandy Rose, Dolph Ziggler checking on Mandy Rose, but Dolph Ziggler and Sonya Deville still in cahoots with each other, saying that even after Sonya destroys Mandy, Dolph will be there to pick up the pieces. I mean, it's an interesting way to go, that to not just have Dolph not, just completely done with Mandy Rose, and that he actually does have some legitimate feelings for her, and he's playing the very long game to get her.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the position that he's in now does kind of let you believe that he does have a genuine interest in her, but it's also like she was dating you, found out about the plan, and it's just not happening, dude. Like, let it go. So, yeah, it is a fun little twist, but I guess, yeah, with any storyline like this, they usually try to get a couple of pay-per-views out of it, and to have that little hook there to continue things is a good one to go with.
Yeah, I mean, it really, especially particularly on the SmackDown side of things, it seems like it is the only actual storyline that going right now. As of right now, the Mandy versus Sonya singles match is set for SmackDown on Friday, and not the pay-per-view, which is interesting. Unless it's going to be some kind of a non-finish building to a match at the pay-per-view, which the pay-per-view right now, well. Let's see. Well, obviously, well, there's six women in the Money in the Bank match, and then the Bayley Tamina SmackDown Women's Championship match. Becky Lynch not on this pay-per-view.
Oh. Interesting choice.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know post-WrestleMania, I believe it was said that Becky and Seth had planned to get married during the downtime between what would have been WrestleMania and the annual European tour, but obviously that did not. Obviously, both their wedding and the European tour did not end up happening. But Becky still decided, the decision was made to give Becky some time off while her fiance continues to appear on Raw every week.
Yeah, she's just. I guess I'm gonna say that she's been protected too much. Like, they've had her off TV far too often during this title reign. Like, they almost have to heat her back up every time she kind of takes off for a couple of weeks. And yeah, I guess I don't continue or get why they continue to do that, especially considering that her fiance slash possibly husband, if they decided to go with some internet ceremony, yeah, it's pretty weird to keep her off TV. Now, I do feel like she had a couple of taped promos, though.
She had a promo on Raw a couple of weeks ago, where they brought her to Full Sail. I mean, not Full Sail, the Performance Center, to basically talk about nothing because she has nothing. She has nothing coming up. She has been advertised for Raw on Monday, so next Monday's Raw. So that should be able to heat things up, as you say. For her next title defense, and I'm imagining that one of the Raw women is going to be walking away with the briefcase at Money in the Bank. It feels like it makes sense.
Yeah, they seem to not, because they don't really have anyone in position to take the belt from Becky if her name isn't Charlotte. You know, like, I don't know who would beat her in a match. You know, Ronda, I guess Ronda Rousey could be one, but the last we heard from the Rowdy one, she is either genuinely displeased with the WWE crowd, or she is trying to sell some type of shtick that was stupid. I'm not sure which it was. So yeah, like, they don't have a lot of options, so having someone win Money in the Bank, have Becky go through a grueling match, have her lose, like, is typical, you know, for at least 75% of cash-ins. I would probably actually say north of 80%.
Yeah, I mean, they've got this, the women's Money in the Bank is certainly set up as the, forgive me for saying this, anyone out there, but the beasts of Raw versus the Barbie dolls of SmackDown. And I don't see any of the Barbie dolls really being in place to do anything with Bayley. I mean, obviously over on SmackDown, the storyline is the slow build to a Bayley Sasha feud. So there's no reason to have really there's no so there's no so, there's no reason to have a SmackDown women woman win Money in the Bank. So it is between the three women from Raw. I mean, Asuka's had her multiple opportunities. Shayna had her one opportunity, but it was a kind of a fluke roll-up type of deal. And Nia Jax has returned with a monster push, and there is unfinished history between her and Becky as well, because they never did a Becky Nia, I mean, yeah, a Becky Nia singles match coming off of Becky breaking Beck. I mean, Nia breaking Becky's face about a year and a half ago.
That would be a lot of fun to have that match. Honestly, I'd kind of forgotten that that match had happened. Just because, or that that event had happened. And I mean, that was always kind of funny, since that really helped cement Becky. Everyone was way more pissed at Nia. And that really helped her out there. Helped a little bit of solidarity, I think, around the Lynch. Well, and Nia Jax is definitely like they have definitely featured her in these matchups with Shayna and Asuka, who have both tried to double team her at moments, but have never been particularly successful when doing so. You know,
Right.
or at least they're temporarily successful, but then they do the usual fight amongst themselves, and Nia Jax comes back and cleans house. So yeah, to me, that match actually seems way more clear than the men's match.
Yeah, the men's match is just this weird hodgepodge of talent. I mean, there's what, four baby faces and two heels in the match. It really, doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't really feel anyone ha I don't really feel any of the men. And it is, two briefcases that it will still just be there will be two winners coming out of it. I don't really know. I don't really see where the men's Money in the Bank winner comes from. I mean, it feels like Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio have had their time. And, I mean, they can be, moved up and down the card at will, but, it really isn't their time right now. Baron Corbin had the most unillustrious Money in the Bank reign and cash in history.
And has also not exactly hit it off after becoming King of the Ring after they revived it.
No, it has not. Once again, AJ Styles is another one who's been, who has, been, up and down the card, and it doesn't necessarily feel like it's his time. So then you get into Aleister Black and Otis, two baby faces on the rise. Although it's not necessarily, it's not a great baby face gimmick. Typically, it could also be. Could be a heel turn gimmick as well, so that could be in there. I'm not feeling, who should win this match actually, on the men's side at all.
There's logical of the women's, the men's. Yeah, it's you described it perfectly. Like I don't know what else there is to add. Like, 'cause I wouldn't be completely surprised if Otis wins just because he's been on something of a roll. But they've really put a lot of time into Aleister Black over the last year and a half or so. So he's had somewhat of a sustained push since he came up from NXT.
Here's the thing. You carry the Money in the Bank briefcase with you everywhere you go. Could you picture Aleister Black's entrance being raised up from the depths while he's also holding the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Oh yeah, he's gonna be clutching it against his chest in some type of yeah. I mean, you could make it creepy. He could like customize the briefcase to his liking.
I guess you could. Then, of course, you've also got the potential of Corbin winning with his cape, his crown, his scepter, and carrying his cape, the crown, the scepter, and the briefcase, like 1989 Hacksaw Jim Duggan. About 15 different gimmicks.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Like, that's the only reason I want Baron Corbin to win now. It was just so I can see that happen.
Because you remember for a brief period, they did make Hacksaw Jim Duggan the king back in 1989. So he was literally wearing a cape and a crown on his head, and then he was carrying his 2x4 in one hand and the American flag in the other.
I had forgotten that he was still holding on to the 2x4 and the flag, that there was that face in there.
And then at SummerSlam in 1989, he was in a six-man tag with Demolition, and they painted his face.
Oh man, yeah. Oh, please, Baron Corbin, become our modern day Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I only wish that I enjoyed Baron Corbin as much as I enjoyed Hacksaw Jim Duggan back in the day. Oh man, yeah, and like, I guess you could give it to AJ. Like, you keep on talking about it being a heel gimmick. AJ is kind of the strongest heel, and I don't think you really need a bounce back win after a loss to The Undertaker.
No, not under those circumstances, and in a cinematic match where he was buried alive, and then he returns four weeks later. Although, I guess somebody is gonna take some type of a crazy cinematic bump off the roof. So that might be AJ Styles' new thing. He gets murdered on every pay-per-view from now on.
He becomes the WWE's version of Kenny from South Park.
Yep.
He just has to die every pay-per-view. Oh, that would be... Yeah, that was really weird. At least on Monday, since Raw has been recording for me, there were two different people talking about... I think one person talked about getting thrown off of the top of the building, and someone else talked about falling off of it. And I'm just like, oh, you're kind of a klutz if you fall off of it on your own. Like, just stay away from the parapet, man. Like, it's not that hard. And if someone's pushing you in a ladder intentionally off the roof, that's murder.
Yeah, it is. They went through it last night with the tour through the building and all the different rooms and offices and the kitchen and the gym and the conference room and everything. It's like, why would they need to stop? Just keep going up the elevator, up the stairs.
Oh,
I assume the stairwell goes all the way up to the roof from the lobby. You really don't need to tour the whole building, but I guess what fun would that be?
Oh my god. That was a stupid bump. I am watching the first Money in the Bank pay-per-view currently as we record this to get ready for Money in the Bank on on Sunday, and Matt Hardy and Christian just took a really stupid bump, which is not shocking. But yeah, because was it Asuka getting talked about getting tossed off the building? I'm like,
it was Rey Mysterio, actually.
Oh yeah, it was Rey. I was like, oh my god, dude, like that is. Like, I know that you're trying to sell the pay-per-view, but honestly, the uniqueness of the match is a draw to me. I think that seems like the match has a lot of fun potential. Like, I agree with you. Like, logically, there's no reason for any of the wrestlers to not just go, okay, let's just meet upstairs, right? Yeah, okay, good. And just go up there. Because there aren't any real, like, personal feuds in either of these ladder matches either.
No, there is not at all.
So, like, you know, if there's some... And a lot of times in Money in the Bank matches, there's some type of feud that has carried over... And that gets tossed into this style of match, but neither of these matches has that. So, I mean, there's no reason to fight, like, in the lobby. Like, there's just none. It's just like, hey, the briefcase is up there, guys. Let's just go there, beat the tar out of each other, and go from there. But like you said, it wouldn't be any fun if they just did that.
This is their opportunity to do their cinematic style of match. There is even talk that instead of it doing it as one straight match, it will actually be they'll go back to it multiple times throughout the night.
Oh.
After one match, let's see what's going on back at WWE headquarters, and then they'll go and then they'll air a few minutes of it. Then they'll go back to the performance center for the next official match, and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, I could. I mean, that's kind of a fun thing to do, too, if that's
Yeah,
the
no.
route that they're gonna go. Oh, and they just showed that spot again because it was so stupid. Yeah, and let's see. I'm trying to think of because I guess AJ Styles, that was the one fun thing, I guess, to at least wrap up for me things on Styles. Like, I did laugh that he blew off, like, he verbally blew off the loss to The Undertaker. 'Cause like he said that he wasn't pinned, I believe, and what other he's like yeah, he goes, it wasn't even a sanctioned match, so whatever. So that was kind of fun. Like I'm glad that he kind of officially blew that off on TV because there are just times where things like that don't get addressed. And it annoys me, so I'm at least glad that he covered that.
No, it's good that he did, and it's an easy thing to kind of blow past and say, well, it wasn't an official match, there wasn't a referee, I didn't get pinned. I mean, it's better than having Seth Rollins get a title match after being pinned in the middle of the ring by someone who hasn't been on Raw since WrestleMania.
Oh man. I guess so that kind of covers it almost sounds like a preview that we got going on here. Oh man. And I guess since you mentioned Seth Rollins last, we could keep on talking about him and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, we might as well. I mean, they're doing a basic build up. Seth's promos have been pretty strong, as so have Drew's. They did the obvious, Drew McIntyre wrestles Seth. what are they
Surrogate,
calling?
acolyte.
Acolyte or something that they're calling him. Yeah,
I forget what they're actually
sidekick. Well,
calling.
sidekick's a more natural word. Murphy on Raw, that match was fine. Yeah, no, I mean it's been fine what they've done with Seth and Drew. I don't foresee a title change here. That would be fairly stupid. They do seem to be invested in Drew as being the guy on Raw in the long term. And there's almost no point in doing major title changes during the lockdown era. Well,
We kind of talked about it last week where Rollins is just unfortunately he's like just one of the few guys that the WWE can feed to McIntyre right now that doesn't seem completely out of his league. And honestly, I would think that might be why they are one Jinder Mahal came back. I would not be surprised to see him end up being a contender against Drew McIntyre.
No, I would not. No. There's a history there. I mean, Jinder, I guess, still has some credibility from his past WWE Championship push. So no, it would be doing Drew versus Jinder would be a fine thing to do on another one of these B shows going forward. Because I imagine there's still going to be a June pay-per-view and a July pay-per-view all before SummerSlam, which we'll see what happens when we get closer to there. But no, I mean Jinder would be a fine B show opponent for Drew to trickier to beat, really.
Yeah, so the one matchup, and I guess it's probably because I haven't watched a whole lot of SmackDown that I am not terribly invested in, is Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, it's a kind of a weird feud. I mean, bringing up that Braun Strowman was in the Wyatt family and Bray Wyatt brought Braun Strowman into the WWE, then that's standard stuff, and it worked for the storyline. But if you look at the match graphic, it is not the Fiend challenging for the title. It is Bray Wyatt in his full Mr. Rogers regalia. So, and we've established that that version of Bray Wyatt is not that dangerous.
Oh.
So I imagine we're going to see a Braun Strowman win in not a lot of time, but it also leaves the door open so that the Fiend can challenge for Braun Strowman's Universal Championship next as well, which I'm kind of imagining is the next step.
Yeah, this is like when you have Finn Balor and Demon Finn Balor. Like you get two different matchups with two different possibly results. Although this would to go back to your no reason to change the title during the during the lockdown here or whatever level of lockdown that you happen to be in. Yeah, and I don't see them doing that. You know, there's no reason to have the Fiend win the title back anytime soon. Honestly, like his gimmick just works better without a title at stake.
Right.
So, but yeah, like you said, there's a little history there, but not too much. Yeah, I mean, I guess that covers Money in the Bank. Is there anything that caught your eye from NXT or AEW this past week?
This past week's shows I thought from AEW and NXT were not the most super exciting, although both are primed to have some of their biggest shows since we've since they moved into empty arena environment this coming week. But AEW made use of what they had at their disposal. They used a lot of local talent, and anyone who was within essentially a driving distance of where they were taping. They got the TV title tournament out of the way, with the
Yeah.
expected predictable Cody versus Lance Archer final that since that's been the match that's been built up and they've kept it away. Both of the matches they did it for the TV title tournament were all right, but I think Lance Archer took way too long to put away Dustin Rhodes for the monster push they're giving him. And there were a couple of moments in the match where Lance Archer did something illegal right in front of the referee, and it wasn't a disqualification, and that just bugged the shit out of me.
I must have I either forgot about those moments or was not paying enough attention to
He hit
those
him.
moments.
He hit him over the head with a chair. Right in front of the referee, very early in the match, which is what busted Dustin open. And
Oh,
then I
yeah.
think he didn't he use the he run him face first into an exposed turnbuckle right in front of the referee as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So things like that kind of bugged me. It wasn't a no disqualification match, and if you're gonna, the lack of credibility for referees has been a sticking point for AEW since literally. Episode one. So you hate to see them still not completely, getting that part. But no, I mean, but as I said, but I guess my bigger problem was it was a 20-minute match that did not need to be a 20-minute match, for Lance Archer.
Yeah, I guess I was a little bit surprised that it went as long as it did. Like, I didn't expect Dustin Rhodes to be done in 5 minutes or something like that. But a 10-minute match seems appropriate, you know, that it seems quick enough that you're putting away the veteran, the tough out, and, you know, at least the one guy that's close to your size in the tournament.
Right.
So it should take at least a little bit of time, but yeah, it would have helped put Cody in more dire straits had he taken out Dustin much more quickly.
Right. Yeah. And then you know, Cody and Darby Allin have, you know, they've had pretty good chemistry and some good matches against each other in the past. That finish was an absolute disaster. It made no sense. I don't know why, you know, Cody, being the veteran that he is, I don't know why he didn't hook Darby's arms and arms with his arm and his other leg.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, he can just, because I think I rewatched that and I'm like, why didn't he? Oh, that's what it was. Is that again, DVR problems, but I didn't start watch. I didn't think AEW was taping, but then it did actually end up taping. I rewatched that match the next morning, and I was just like, oh, why didn't he just kick out of that? I was like, he didn't have him hooked at all.
No, he didn't, and it's on this tape show in front of no people. Just stop and do it again.
Yeah, I mean, there is no reason to not do a little bit of editing. Like, I know that you kind of want to keep it one take for the most part, but sometimes the editing is for the best. Like, because I never went to one of those SmackDown in the era of the tape. Or no, I went to a bunch of SmackDowns when they taped them, but I never witnessed a botch that made them retape a segment, you know, or part of a match. And yeah, this is kind of the perfect time to do that. Like, no one's going to be able to tell the difference.
Right, no. It unnecessarily hurt the match and hurt Cody and hurt Darby. Yeah, no, there was no reason for that.
Yeah, NXT does feel like, because, yeah, Wednesday night still seems like the better night to watch TV, even if the ratings don't say so. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what NXT, because, oh, well, I mean, it's a little disappointing. This was something that maybe I could expound on from Twitter, and maybe you and I could talk about it. I was really excited for Charlotte Flair to get some new opponents in NXT, but and now I'm sitting here going, oh my god, are they really burning through Mia Yim, Io Shirai, and who was it? Liv Morgan. Now, Liv Morgan is maybe not as high on my list of, oh, you're burning her now, but you just had her have a big win against her former leader. Like, why are you having her lose to Charlotte right now, right after she gets some momentum?
Yeah. That one didn't bother me as much because she got a lot of offense, and it was very close, and, you know, they're doing the thing with Liv Morgan where she admits that she doesn't have it all together. You know, that was kind of a weird promo, and nothing like anyone has actually really done before, where she's trying to figure she's young and she's trying to figure herself out. This is what she said last week after she beat Ruby Riott for a second time. So it kind of made sense to me. That one didn't bother me as much as just kind of steamrolling through Mia Yim did.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I wasn't, well, that one is kind of the opposite of the Dustin Rhodes Lance Archer match. I expected a little bit more out of that, just time-wise. You know, it's always one of those things where if, especially on NXT, they seem to give matches plenty of time. So, I don't understand why they didn't give this time.
And there was no reason not to. The show didn't have all that much meat. I don't think. I'm just not as big a fan of these athletic big man matches that Keith Lee has with the other big men of NXT, like Dijakovic and.
Oh, Damian Priest.
Damian Priest, God, I can't believe it. And Damian Priest, I just like I actually prefer the matches where Keith Lee is Russell Small. I prefer any of these big guys against smaller opponents, and where they just kind of throw them around. And they're left to scramble for their own offense. I don't know. I'm just not a. They just do too much in these matches. The Lee Priest match wasn't as what's the word I'm looking for? Self what? Self inflating as the Lee Dijakovic matches have been. I'm still not a huge fan. They definitely could have had Charlotte and Mia, have more time and given more to Mia.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Io Shirai will get a little bit longer of a match, but I still don't expect her to win either. So to kind of have her out of the way for Charlotte is a little bit of a bummer for me. Just because I know that this it the matchup probably won't happen again. Like I don't expect this to be an extended feud. Would you expect it to carry on for a couple of, well, maybe to whatever, or I'd
Well,
assume
no.
that they're probably going to have a takeover again at some juncture.
I imagine they will, but nah. I mean, Charlotte dispatched of Mia Yim too easily. It was a setup match to get to Charlotte versus Io Shirai, which is gonna be which that's gonna be the interesting match right there. Just to see what they. I guess it depends on how long they want to keep this Charlotte NXT Women's title reign going.
Oh, I guess I didn't even think that there was a chance that Io Shirai was going to beat Charlotte.
I'd say it's still unlikely.
But yeah, I mean, there. I guess there definitely is a chance that it could happen. Just because they are really high on Io, and obviously she's here. Like, I don't. You know, it could be that, 'cause what's her name? Is she back? Is Rhea Ripley back in Australia currently?
I believe that is the story, yes.
So I mean, the WWE doesn't know how long they're gonna be without her, and I mean, it could all be just the fact that, Charlotte won because Rhea was headed back to Australia, and they just needed to transition things somehow. I somehow doubt that that's the case, so I guess that's why I think that yeah, that Charlotte will come out of this one with another W. So yeah, I think that about does it on my end. Can you think of anything else in the world of wrestling that is worth talking about before we mosey on out of here?
No, no one else is currently running, so I think we hit it all this week.
Bell Time Beer. I decided to go light since it's the middle of the day that we're recording. It is Wolf's Ridge Brewing Protege. It is a strawberry table saison, 4.5% alcohol, 15 IBUs, so there is not a hint of hops to be found, really. And it's just a nice, light, refreshing beer that is stupid easy to drink. And it's one of a number of fruity beers that I have gotten recently. All of different flavors and all of... They're all pretty good, so I'll take it. I just wish it was a little bit warmer out when I was drinking these. So I will leave it at that. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.